Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, we have an all-pundit show with Brian Wachter, John Sandy IV, and Cheryl Blomstrom. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety, too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority, and it's ours, too. Every day, in everything we do.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology, like this electronic eye, that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you, because trucks move America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we've got an all-pundit show going today with a great lineup, and we're taping this on the 3rd of February, which is also the third day of the session so far, about to begin. And we're joined by Brian Wachter. He's Senior Vice President of Government and Public Affairs for the Retail Association of Nevada. John Sandy IV, Principal with Argentum Partners. And Cheryl Blomstrom, the Political Consultant. Pleasure to have you all here. Brian, how strange is it to be at the beginning of a session when you're not in the building, but you are at least in Carson City?
Well, you know, I think it's very strange. The process is new for everybody, including legislators. So, you know, we're in a unique position of having to respond to a body that's still trying to figure out how it's going to operate for the next 120 days. So I think at this point, all you can really be flexible for the process, and really try to make sure that you're getting your amendments and your testimony out there, because I do think that's going to be very difficult this session.
John, one of the things that is, you know, that maybe the public doesn't know, but a lot of what happens during the session as far as lobbyists communicating with legislators is done in the hallways. It's legislators taking a break, going to get lunch, going to get to the bathroom, whatever it might be, where you get a few minutes maybe at most to have a chance to talk to them. That is going to be gone completely here.
Yeah, it's Brian. I mean, he said it right. It's weird. It's a strange environment for everybody, and not only the communication with the legislators, which is going to be a challenge in and of itself, but also I think a lot of people don't recognize not only relationships but communications that are done between staff, you know, attachés, legislative attachés, and those people. There, you know, there's a core group of them that are there every year, and it's nice to get reacquainted with them. But you know, there's a lot of new faces every session, and you know, just talking to somebody and personally over the phone is a lot different than having, you know, had an opportunity at the beginning part of the session to go in and actually chat with them a little bit and get to know them a little bit. You know, it really is going to make this session probably a lot more impersonal. and just a lot different. I mean, communication is going to be key, obviously. There's a lot of policy decisions that are going to need to be made, budget issues with COVID. There's a lot of challenges that we face. And, you know, I like to think that legislators are useful resources for a lot of people that have experience in areas that maybe not all the legislators have. And it's going to be, you know, very challenging and incumbent upon everybody to make sure we get it right.
Yeah, and I think you meant lobbyists are a good resource rather than legislators.
Yes, legislators are obviously a great resource, but lobbyists is what I did mean.
It's one of those things, Cheryl, that is just so peculiar for this session, that lack of personal contact, because, you know, even if you have the ability through email and text to be able to communicate, people are still going to be wary about putting things on paper or electronically that could come back to potentially bite them later.
100%, Sam. Ours is a business of communication, and that communication happens in a variety of ways. Clearly, one-on-one with legislators, but as John says, with staff, with each other, which is a piece that we're really missing. There's no lobbyist registration available yet, so we don't know who represents whom. And those chance meetings in the hallway are really the grease that lubricates everything that we do.
Brian, yeah, the inability to even know who's representing who. I went to the legislative website yesterday just to look for top lobbyists and who they represent going into this session. That information isn't available yet. Does that concern you that, you know, that might be problematic where we don't know who is representing who at this session so far?
Well, I got to say, Sam, on my list of concerns, that's not one of the top ones. I do think it's going to make it very difficult to figure out who the stakeholders are in a particular policy. I think that'll get itself worked out. I had heard that there was language that the speaker was proposing that would kind of speed up that lobbyist process. As you know, it's tied to whether or not we're physically in the building. And so I think that is something that needs to be clarified. But I really think the rules on testifying are something that is most important that we should be looking out for. As you know, policies, whether you're for or against them, are often complex. And, you know, I can remember hearings where Carol Velardo has been, you know, 45 minutes going line by line on some of these bills, and that's an opportunity that isn't available anymore. You have to be invited to testify. Otherwise, you're limited to 2 minutes in public comment. And for me, that's part of the process that I feel is going to be most detrimental to crafting good policy going forward.
John, one of the things I've noticed over the years is when you're in Carson City, and you're in a committee hearing and you're getting testimony from Las Vegas, that seems like an opportunity for legislators to go to the bathroom, have a little side chat or whatever. Does that concern you that that's gonna happen when you have people testifying via Zoom, et cetera, that you're not gonna really have the full attention of legislators and that they'll have the opportunity to make decisions prior to the meeting, and this is just window dressing in a way?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that just flows from what Cheryl and Brian just both told you. I mean, part of communication is nonverbal communication and the reactions that, you know, your testimony elicits from legislators is an important component of the communication and of the process. And so when you're looking through a Zoom lens or on the phone, providing 2 minutes of commentary on some issues that can be complex and require a more thorough dive into what you're explaining. There's so much potential for things to get lost. And I agree. I think that's exactly what Brian was saying is, you know, on the list of concerns, I mean, these are obviously at the top. It's just a brand new environment for everybody to deal with. And just another one of the challenges we're dealing with COVID.
Cheryl, you know, there's been a big cutback over the years in the ability to have lunch or dinner with a legislator. Are we going to see at least lobbyists be able to congregate to some degree around Carson City to be able to talk about the issues of the day?
I think that depends on the individual lobbyist. I'm the geezer on this panel, and I probably won't. It's You know, my husband is older than I am, and I'm not sure that it's safe for us, so I probably won't. You know, these younger guys, maybe they can, but I probably will not.
All right, let's take a break. This is the most intriguing start to a session ever. We'll be right back on About a Newsmakers after this timeout.
Get in on the action at the Tamarack Casino and win your share of $100,000 guaranteed. Now through February 27th, plus 5x points every Friday. $100,000 guaranteed at Tamarack Casino. Your good times are at Tamarack.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Penny, Dad? What are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this. Wow, this stuff is great. People are gonna love it.
Yes. Yes, they were.
Get in on the action at the Tamarack Casino and win your share of $100,000 guaranteed. Now through February 27th, plus 5x points every Friday. $100,000 guaranteed at Tamarack Casino. Your good times are at Tamarack.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great all-pundit show going with Brian Wachter, Cheryl Blomstrom, and John Sandy the IV. John, I wanted to start out with you and talk about the budget. Obviously, the numbers were not as bad as we had originally thought. Where do you think the discussion is going to head as far as the budget and cuts or potential increases in revenue?
Oh, I think they're probably going to focus around the issues that we always talk about, trying to fund education, healthcare, employees. There's obviously a lot of sources that our state requires revenue to function properly, and I don't think this session, as far as budget concerns, we're always going to be focused around making sure we get enough money into education and healthcare, Medicaid. I know we're talking about increasing reimbursement rates and trying to provide for a robust program through Medicaid. So I see that being somewhat typical to other sessions, regardless of COVID. I mean, COVID does present obviously some needs, but hopefully we'll get some federal funding to help us kind of alleviate some of those.
And Brian, that as of the New York Times, as we're taping this morning, they're talking about using the reconciliation process in Congress to get President Biden's $1.9 trillion relief to the nation. Is that going to really change things in Carson City to the point where, we will have more money than we were really banking on and that will enable us to do more things?
Well, the governor's already included federal funding and a lot of federal funding in order to balance Nevada's budget. We're only down 2% in appropriations from this budget year to the last budget year. And that decrease we're seeing, as well as to inch, the rest of it is seeing a huge increase over at the Department of HHS. From the retail standpoint, we don't believe that taxation should be necessarily off the table this session. We should be having conversations about revenue. There seems to be a lack of direction or push by the legislature or the governor to do that. But we have an opportunity as a state to start looking about what we want a post-COVID economy to look like. And that's a conversation that we have not seen geared up for. The governor certainly didn't mention it in the state of the state, and we haven't seen the legislature make that commitment. So in terms of revenue, I think absent a push to have that conversation, we're looking at a budget that relies entirely on federal funds in order to balance. You know, if the reconciliation process goes through quickly, we're looking towards the end of March to see that. But there are portions of the president's economic or COVID relief plan that, you know, experts are looking at whether or not it can even get through, you know, the Byrd Amendment on qualifying for reconciliation. Things like a $15 minimum wage, I think they're going to be hard-pressed to find a compelling, substantial reason that that's going to affect the U.S. deficit. So I don't believe that that is going to be a quick and easy process. And we'll be waiting for a couple of months at the legislature to see whether or not we need a plan B.
All right. So, Brian, just to continue on that thought for a moment, if you're looking at the federal government as a large input for money, but there hasn't been a discussion about, you know, raising funds here in the state, what would retail be looking at in terms of potential revenue increases? Where would you look for it?
Well, I think first and foremost, we need to take a hard look at the sales tax and making sure that we are capturing what the economy is going to look like post-COVID. So for instance, if you purchase a book at a brick and mortar Main Street library, you know, bookstore, you're going to pay sales tax on that purchase. If you make a digital book purchase on a Kindle or any number of other apps, you're not going to pay sales tax. And so whether or not you consider it a tax increase, if we don't expand the definition of sales tax and tangible goods to mean digital goods, we are going to continue as a state to see a decrease in the sales tax collection going forward. So while it would provide additional revenue, what it's really going to do is shore up the fact that 42% of all state and local revenue are derived from sales tax. And if we allow that pot of money to continue to dwindle because we're not prepared to modernize into an e-commerce community, Nevada is going to be at a detriment. And we are going to have another revenue conversation on top of that. So at the very least, this legislature needs to consider what our tax code needs to look like in order to capture the economic activity that we're going to expect. And our tax system currently doesn't do that.
Cheryl, we've moved into your area of expertise here. You're a former head of the Nevada Taxpayers Association. You know, we saw Amazon come to the table several years ago to agree to pay taxes in Nevada and other states on the online purchases that people made. What do you think about what Brian has just said?
I tend to agree with Brian. Less than 50% of our economic activity in the state is captured within our tax matrices. I'm not keen on raising taxes, you know me, but I also think that you could lower some rates and even it out. If you broaden the base, you can lower the rates. It's a math equation, it's really simple. It doesn't even require algebra. But I think that it's really important that we have a conversation, even if we have to just begin a conversation this time, a conversation that comes out of the behind the doors and is done in public and is done transparently. And a lot of different views are looked at and stirred in the mix. And then I think we can modernize, as Brian says, our tax system.
John, the only issue with sales tax is that it is already so high in our major communities. Obviously the online retailers are having an advantage if they're not paying taxes into the state. But what's going to be the public response to this if they see their prices going up?
Well, I mean, if I could first point out that this is a perfect example of what we were talking about in the first segment about how important these small conversations are to spur, you know, policy discussions, and how quickly and easily they can occur. And so I agree with you, but I mean, Cheryl, I think just hit it on the head, is that you don't necessarily need to talk about increases in sales taxes. If you broaden the base, that will generate more revenue that would allow for you to lower rates. And I think there's a consideration about our brick and mortar, our small businesses in our state that are being, you know, unfairly disadvantaged against some of these online retailers that are selling pretty much the same products, but not having to pay sales tax on it. And then I think there's a good policy discussion to be have around that, is that do we want to favor out-of-state online retailers versus our brick and mortar retail establishments that are paying not only sales tax, but property tax, payroll tax, and all the others. And so, you know, there's a number of factors that go into a discussion like this. But I think that this is the type of conversation that will likely be missed out on in the building and in small coffee shops around Carson City because of COVID.
Sam, if I could jump in there, you know, I would share with you that the Retail Association regularly polls the public on lots of issues. And we've polled specifically this question about changing, the loophole on digital goods. And we've found public support in the high 60s, 68%. And the last time we went out, people understand that this is something to do. Data has moved into the direction. Online, marketplaces and online companies do collect and remit sales tax. That was a long conversation, and the Nevada legislature did that. But they can't collect tax on an item that is not currently defined as taxable. And so that's why those items and a definition change would be needed, so that those folks can continue to follow the rules like that we know that they want to and remit that sales tax. You know, but when you talk about sales tax going to cities and counties, local school support tax, there's a lot of folks that are going to be harmed if we're not modernizing this, our tax structure.
All right, let's take another break. We'll come back and then we'll mention another tax that may become a hot topic at this session right after this timeout.
Get in on the action at the Tamarack Casino and win your share of $100,000 guaranteed. Now through February 27th, plus 5x points every Friday. $100,000 guaranteed at Tamarack Casino. Your good times are at Tamarack.
Enjoy exceptional value and a comfortable atmosphere at Reno's newest steakhouse, Nevada Steak.
Ooh, your good times at Tamarack.
Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
Can't do it. Stupid, like my mom.
We can't do anything at Mommy's because you won't pay child support.
Dad said you cheated, and he's not even sure he's my dad.
Mommy said you left both of us, so she isn't gonna let me see you.
I look just like my father.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and I may represent men, but hate has no gender, only casualties. Please, stop sacrificing your children in your war against your ex.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have an all-pundit show going with Brian Wachter of the Retail Association of Nevada, John Sandy IV with Argentum Partners, and political consultant Cheryl Blomstrom. Property tax rates. This has been an interesting situation for many years now in the state of Nevada, where we have a split roll between what people pay on residences and what people pay on businesses. And a lot of local governments would love to see a change in the property tax rates to capture more money because they've been hit so hard. What are your thoughts on where this might end up going during this session?
That's a really good point. You know, that started in 2005, actually started before that with an initiative petition signature gathering campaign that really torqued, going to make a nice word, it just torqued the entire legislative conversation that year. And I don't think it was a good choice. I think there were other better ways. It was a cudgel instead of a scalpel. And I don't think that it has inured well to the benefit of the state. That said, people are very used to it right now. So if that's going to change, again, another conversation that needs to be in the open, transparent, with a really good explainer why it needs to happen. I think that we tried a little bit of that in 2017. We tried a little bit more in 2019. I don't know if as a state, if we're ready to hear that. And I think we probably need to at least have the conversation.
Brian, let's just talk about for a moment partisanship. Are we starting off at least in a bipartisan fashion, or are you concerned that we're already ready to jump into the fight?
Well, I mean, I think if we just look at the day's one activity, it took them quite a few hours to negotiate the rules for the legislative session. Specifically, listening to the floor speeches, there were concerns about where you could remote vote and whether or not members could view committee in the committee room. And so I think the fact that it took them a little while to get started and to get on the same page in terms of what the rules are going to be doesn't give me a lot of optimism that everyone's on the same page for the next 120 days. I certainly hope being outside the building, saw it wrong, but I think it does speak a little bit to how much conflict we might be able to anticipate going forward.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you all very much. I look forward to talking to you all much more during the session, but thank you for being here this morning, and we appreciate it. And we'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority, and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
ProGroup Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. ProGroup Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. ProGroup Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
You can now watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and search for Nevada Newsmakers and become a subscriber. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.